Christian Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. If you're joining us for the first time, we've been in the journey through the book of Genesis, and we're now in chapter 22, and it's been 2 years and about 4 months. So today, we're continuing our journey towards the tail end of the story of Abraham. And we reviewed last week, we started in verse 1 of chapter 22, where it says, after these things. And we talked about the journey that Abraham has had with God towards the seasons of his life, from being a pagan all the way to establishing a covenant, all the way through splitting up with Lot, and all this entire journey of creating an Ishmael and being visited by God, being rescued by God, and all the other stuff that went into that. And finally, it says, after all these things, God tested Abraham. And we talked about this idea of a test, and that we said that this is literally the first time the Bible talks about this idea of a test. And last week, we said that there's a purpose for a test. One of the purposes for a test is to know if something's genuine. You test certain things, you test gold, you test vitamins, you test medicine, because you want to know, is it the real thing? Certain things that you want to test may not harm you. If you want to test whether a bag or a pair of shoes is genuine or fake, might not do any harm to you. But if medicine is fake, it might actually destroy you. It might actually harm you. Or if you invested in fake gold, then it might actually do you harm. So the first reason why God wanted to test Abraham was really not for God to know that his faith was genuine, but for him to know. Because the worst thing that can happen to anyone is for you to think that you have faith, and yet what you're holding on to is fake faith. Secondly, we said that to know if the lessons have been learned. The reason why children or we are given tests or drivers are giving tests after taking up driving classes is to know, have they learned their lesson? Will they know how to drive through life? And finally, we said that the reason why tests were done spiritually is to see if you're ready for the next level. You cannot, by all intents and purposes, manage calculus if you don't even know basic math. And you've got to be tested so that if you know that math is works for you, then you can ascend to the next level of things. It's the same with faith. If the basic faith is not there, then how can you move on to the next level? And that was what was happening in the life of Abraham. And we ended with the story of Isaac and Jesus. We said that last week that as far as Abraham is concerned, most of us in this room has heard of the name of Jesus. We know that God gave Jesus Christ to die for our sins, to save us from all unrighteousness, and to be who we're supposed to be. But at that moment in history, Abraham had no idea that God wanted to save humanity, and the way he was going to do it was to send his one and only son to die for our sins. And for the first time in history, God was about to give this man a sneak peek of what he was about to do in eternity. And he does it in a manner that's amazing. He shows Abraham the picture of Jesus through Isaac. Both of these children were loved by their fathers. Both of these sons were sons of the promise. Both of them, they're the one and only son. This is what we said last week. Both of them carried the wood by which they were both going to be sacrificed. And both of these boys, or both of these men rather, submitted to the will of their father. And the emotion of that is part of the faith journey that Abraham was have to have. Many times we deny our emotions, thinking that all of life is just spiritual, but there is that matter of the emotions. And our emotions are not to be the thing that we depend upon to guide us through life, but neither is it to be denied. In other words, here was Abraham for the first time. His faith was more than just believing and provision. He was experiencing the emotion of what it looked like to actually lose your son. And then what happens was Jesus, the picture of God's son, would die while his son were going to be saved through an offering of a ram. But the point was that there was a side to his faith, what was now emotional. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that, the emotional side of your faith. Sometimes with Christians, we deny that, and we become wrecks. We think that the emotions are not important. And yet here we find in this story, as we go to chapter 22, verse 9, when they came to the place by which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood. in order to bind and bound Isaac. This is a, I'm not going to go and explain all of this, but it begs the question that at this point, if Isaac was more than just a teenager, why would he allow himself to be bound? I mean, why wouldn't he wrestle? And we're not going to answer that today, but go do that for homework, amen? And next, what happens is Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife, and he's about to kill his son. I'm remembering the emotional side of faith for me. Probably one of the first ones was when my second son was born. And we were new Christians. This was back in the 1980s. We were brand new. We were literally had no idea who God was. We were just party people, okay? So we were good people. We didn't hurt people, but we basically didn't have any idea who God was. We had an idea of a religious God, not a personal God. And then my son came, and he was a little baby, and every time he would grunt. And we were wondering what was wrong with this child. I mean, how many of you know if you have a baby that there's something wrong, it creates a kind of panic for you. So we finally brought him to the doctor, and the doctor said, this child needs immediate surgery. Now, when you have an infant, and the doctor looks at you and says, your child needs infant surgery, something in your heart drops. It goes beyond just the faith of knowing, testing, and God knowing. God will provide. Your emotions get connected to it. And I remember my wife, and as brave as a man I'm supposed to be, I couldn't go to the hospital and watch this thing. It had to be my wife. And my son had to have immediate surgery, and he was healed in God. But, you know, there was the connection to God became emotional. It just didn't become this thing about believing in God. There was something about God provided, delivered, healed, and took care of us in the midst of our greatest fear. And here was Abraham in that moment where all of his emotions and his faith and his journey is all coming together. But the angel of the Lord called to him and said, Abraham, Abraham. Just as a word of, as you read through Scripture, there are only 6-7 places where in the Bible the name of a man is mentioned twice in succession. This is the first one. The second one is Jacob. The third one is Moses. The fourth one is Samuel. The fifth one is Martha. The sixth one is Simon. And the last one is Saul. Saul, Saul. Simon, Simon. Martha, Martha. Samuel, Samuel. Jacob, Jacob. Moses, Moses. Abraham, Abraham. Every time you find that place where someone's name is mentioned twice in succession, it coincides with a turning point in someone's faith. Saul was going to become Paul, and he was going to be changed for the rest of his life. Martha was going to understand it's not by works, but it's by devotion and grace. Peter was going to understand that apart from prayer, you're going to be sifted by Satan. Samuel was going to understand he was going to be a prophet. Jacob was going to understand that all his wranglings and all his trying to make things happen wasn't enough for him to save his family. And here Abraham is having a turning point in his faith. And God is saying, Abraham, Abraham. And he says, here I am. He says, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know. And this is one of those moments where God knows everything. And yet he wants Abraham to know that I know. You know, there are certain things that when you know that your father knows or your boss knows, it kind of bolsters your confidence in your faith. And God wanted Abraham to know, now I know that you fear me, that you fear God. I want to talk to you a little bit about this thing called the fear of God. It's this thing that has been diminished in many quarters. Churches don't want to talk about it. They think it's passé, it's archaic. Why should you be afraid of God? Everything is about the grace of God. But it's important for us to understand this thing. The fear of God, what is it? Why is it important? Or how does it work and why is it important? I want to talk to you first about Isaiah 33 verse 6 and why you need to talk about this. It says, he will be a sure foundation for your times. If you want something that is sure, and you want something, a foundation that will be immovable, it says if you want a rich store of salvation, literally a warehouse of goodness from God, with surplus, that's what it means, a store of salvation, of wisdom and knowledge, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. The key to having this in your life and in my life is this thing called the fear of the Lord. So what is it? What is the fear of the Lord? Well, to begin with, we need to understand that fear is an emotion. The dictionary tells us it's an unpleasant emotion caused by the threat of danger or pain. That's what fear is. It also says that fear is a feeling of anxiety. So fear is basically an emotion. Fear is basically a kind of feeling. It's something that you and I experience. Now, it is not to be denied because it's something that's there. Now, how many of you know if you try to deny something that's there, you're either foolish or stupid, or you're denying something that God actually gave you? So it's not to be denied that there's something to hate, there's something to be angry about, there's something to be disgusted about, there's something to rejoice about, there's something to be happy about. But neither is it to be something that we depend on to guide us to where we're going. So many times what people do is they depend on their emotions or they deny their emotions. The reality is emotion is nothing more than a gauge. It's a gauge of where you are. When you're feeling sad, then it gives you a gauge about where you are spiritually. If you're depressed, it gives you an idea of where you are in terms of what you believe. If you're happy and joyful, it gives you an idea of where you are with the thing that you believe. A gauge is not something that you use to direct your life. It's a thing that lets you know where you are in your journey in life. To understand this emotion, we're going to have to go back to the book of Genesis, and we're taking a leave next week anyway, amen? So bear with me. In Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 2, it says, "By the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he had rested on the seventh day from all the work he was been doing." And this verse, as you've heard me time and time again ask, is, if God is God and he never gets tired, the Bible says the creator of the heavens and the earth never gets tired or weary, then why in the world did God have to rest on the seventh day? Fair question, right? I mean, God never gets tired. How many of you agree God never gets tired? Only two people agree. How many of you agree that God never gets tired? So if God never gets tired, why in the world would he rest on the seventh day? And the answer was because he had finished his work and he wanted to sit back and enjoy creation. That's the part of rest. Rest is not about sleeping because I'm tired. It's because you want to enjoy. It's kind of like going to sleep last night. If you went to sleep last night and you didn't enjoy it, you didn't rest. And you would have gotten a jog this morning and you rested because you were completely enjoying every minute of it. To rest is to enjoy, and to enjoy is to rest. And that was the emotion that God wanted us to experience on the very first day. Because God did not make man on the first day of the week, not on the second, not on the third, not on the fourth, not on the fifth. He made us on the sixth day of the week because his intent was when we woke up the next day, the first thing we saw was not God working, but God enjoying creation with us. The very first emotion that God intended for you and I is not fear, which is today the dominant emotion. The very first emotion was that when we woke up in the morning was this thing about enjoying God, being happy with God. Notice also that in verse 16, the Lord commanded the man. This is literally the first commandment in the whole Bible. And the first commandment is not don't watch video games, amen? The first commandment is you're free. With enjoyment comes freedom. With enjoyment comes this freedom to enjoy everything that God has to give us. Some of us think that the first commandment is don't kill or don't watch TV or don't watch movies or don't wear miniskirts. Are there people who wear miniskirts these days? In other words, we think that those are the first commandments. First commandment is literally you are free. And notice where it says you're not just free, you're free to eat. How many of you know this is man's greatest pastime? Amen. And everybody said amen. Amen. The very first commandment in the entire Bible, Pastor Joey, you're saying is you are free to eat? Yeah. In other words, to enjoy. You are free to enjoy. That was the first emotion. These are emotional. This is not even spiritual. When we live our faith where we think that emotions are not connected, you're killing something. You're denying something that's really God made to put in there. There are songs that I sing that are secular, and as I hear them, I start weeping because I think of my wife. There are songs that I sing that Sharon was weeping here this morning. And she wasn't weeping because she was trying to show us she can cry well, amen? She was getting emotional because maybe something in that song was reminding her and connecting her to her faith. And that's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. Because your emotions are your barometer. They reflect and they reveal the reality of where your faith is. When you're too much no emotion whatsoever towards God, something's wrong. And Abraham was being brought to that level of the emotional connection to his faith. And then it says, not that you're free to eat, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden. The admonition was to one tree, and the freedom was to all the trees. This benevolence of God, this freedom in God to enjoy was the very emotion that God wanted people to have. And Pastor, the question is, how did they become fear? Well, we go to Genesis chapter 3. It switched when they heard the sound of when they sinned against God. And they heard the Lord God walking in the garden. Think about that. God's not even stomping his feet. He's not even running. He's just walking. And it says, in the garden. How many of you know when you're living in a garden, i.e. Singapore, you should be chilling, amen? I don't know why you guys are so stressed up every day. You're living in the garden already. He's walking in the garden, more than that, in the cool of the day. How many of you know God's cool? Hallelujah. He's chilled, he's relaxed. This is the emotion he wants you to have. But after the sin, here's what happens. The man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God. Now they're running away from him. They're afraid of him. This disconnection to this relationship that was meant to be enjoyed, this freedom that they were to have in God, turned out to be fear. Now they're afraid of him, and he's not even doing anything to them. You see, fear was never meant to be the top emotion that we have, which is, by the way, now the mother of all our emotions. We're always afraid of what's going to happen today, afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow, afraid of our jobs, afraid of our health, afraid. That was never meant to be. But to deny fear would be foolish, because God put fear in you so that you would know how to walk away from a snake. Which what they should have done when they saw the snake, walk away from it and walk to the one they should have feared, that Jesus said could destroy your body and your soul. Emotions. Sorry to be emotional. When I do that, that's for effect. It's not because you're more sinner there and then here, okay? Just to be clear, just to make sure you don't feel guilty. When I was a kid, 1960s, I hear my father's car arrive. As soon as I hear the car arrive, I'm excited. I want to go. I want to open the gate for him. And I'm all smiles. I'm all prepped, because I know that when he opens that door, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to get my share of milk duds. That's why I have an emotional connection to chocolate. Amen? It's because as a child, I have memories of my father arriving with the M&Ms, and sometimes he'll surprise me with, he will do these tricks with me. He'll say, do you think I have M&Ms today? And I said, I think you do. And then he'll put it on my back. He will do all these tricks, and then, no, there's no M&Ms today. Then he'll pick it up from my back. It was just the memory and the emotion of that. To this day, some days I miss my dad, who's gone home to heaven now. But there's an emotional connection. But you know what? There are days when I did something stupid. I don't want to see my dad and the butterfinger. I'm actually hiding from him, because I never really realized how much he loved me. That even if I were wrong, he would still welcome me, and he'd still give me the butterfinger, and he'd probably correct me, and for right reasons, so that I can live back to that place of enjoyment and freedom and not hiding. Now, here's what happened. Lord God says, where are you? Obviously, we know he knows where they are. He's not asking for location. He's basically saying, where are you in our relationship? Where are you in your heart? Where are you in your emotions? And the emotion now is, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and just because of that sound, now I'm in fear. Has now become the dominant emotion. Not just fear, now I'm naked, I'm insecure. That's what happens. This emotional thing, when you're always afraid, you're always going to be insecure. For some reason, you're always going to look behind you. You're always going to try to think, maybe I don't fit enough. Maybe I don't have right pedigrees. Maybe I don't have the right clothes. Maybe I don't have the right amount of money. Maybe I didn't work enough for this grace that God did. Maybe I don't merit salvation. You're always going to be insecure. And the rest is lying. It's just hiding to yourself and projecting this image of who you're not than rather than being comfortable about who you really are. A sinner saved by grace by this all-loving, all-consuming God. The dumbest thing to do is try to work on the gauge. Is try to move the gauge, right? Or stop the gauge. The gauge has nothing to do with it. In other words, the more you work on your fear, it doesn't work. It's attributing it to the right place. And then the gauge gets fixed. That's what it is. Fear of God is so critical to who you are because it literally reboots your emotion. It changes you. The emotions of my pot days and my drinking days and my cursing days are over because there are greater emotions of my singing days and my dancing days with God. Amen? When was the last time you actually danced with God? When was the last time you actually enjoyed Him again and got free with Him again? How does it work? Text tells us in verse 12, seeing you have not withheld your son, your one and only son. Basically, the reason why you don't have the fear of God, the measure of how you know that is when you're withholding things from God. When you withhold things from God, when there's things that you're holding on to, that thing is the very thing you're afraid of losing. That's that job, isn't it? That's that relationship. That's that means. That's that way. That's that belief. That system where God's saying, no, 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 no. I've got the whole garden for you. It's the only one I've got, God. It's the one Isaac I have. If I lose this thing, I've lost everything. I don't have anything. A person with the right faith, with a measure of his emotions right there where that faith is, walks in the confidence of knowing that God will provide. God will take care. God is there for me. And He wants to reboot my emotions. Fear immobilizes. When you're afraid, that's why the devil wants you to be afraid, because he knows every time you're afraid, you're immobilized. The fear of God enables you to be free, enables you to move forward. And that's why he wants you there. Notice where it says, because now he fears God, Abraham was able to look to God. God, you can take care of this. It was enabled him not just to look to God, but to see other options. Sometimes our thinking is, this is the only option. This is the only. No, God has many options for you. Don't you dare say that the only option for me is this thing I'm holding on to. No, God has options. Not only does he have options, you will see things that you're not looking at because they're behind you because you're looking only at one thing. More importantly, he might give you something you didn't expect. How he's going to do it? A ram caught in a thicket. Because he's well able. And thus, Abraham went on and took the ram and offered it and was mobilized to fulfill his offering, his relationship, his faith, together with his emotions with God. My wife's in Manila right now. Moving house is a very emotional thing for us after 24 years in living the same house. And yesterday was the birthday of two of my grandchildren, which means I was having lunch alone yesterday and washing the plates. And as I was washing the plates, the music from Paul Williams back in the 1980s of I Won't Last a Day Without You started to play. And I kid you not, I got emotional. But the interesting thing was, I wish I was getting emotional about my wife and missing her, and I wanted her back. But you know, I got emotional about God. Because I remember that song very well back in the 70s. And what it means to me now. That I cannot last a day without you. I can't stand going through this day without you. There are emotional connections that God wants us to have in our lives. Moments that reflect, reveal, that tell us where we are spiritually. They're not to be the basis for our guidance and how we do life. We're not to be dependent on them. We're not to deny them, but we're to use them as gauges so that we can cry out to God and say, God, I need you again. I stopped washing the dishes. I went over to the balcony and just stood there for a while and just thought of God and how much I love him and how much he's blessed me. And every time you do that, folks, your emotions are rebooted to the right place. You're back to that place of enjoying God, and fear is settled back down. And God lifts you up to that place of freedom once again, of peace, of joy, of contentment, of not needing to prove myself. Finally, why is this important? Notice where it says in verse 14, so Abraham called that name of the place, the Lord will provide. You know, you get to name places when you're emotionally connected. You get to name songs. You know how you go to Paris and or the tree that you went to, the forest where you put that little heart thing. I love you, darling. You get to do these things when you're emotionally connected to somebody, isn't it? And that's what's happening to Abraham here. It wasn't just a head knowledge faith. On this mountain, I met my God. On this mountain, God showed me who he is. On this mountain, he provided for me. As it is to this day, God provided for me. Last week, I told you about incident with my son that I almost lost. It was August 8, 2005, when I got that call and said, you know, your son met an accident. Got there and traumatized emotionally by this idea that I could actually lose this child. I was August 8, 2005, and in the Beijing Olympics in August 8, 2008, my wife was on a trip with her sisters to Canada. My boys were all watching the Olympic opening. I was all by myself in the house, and I felt the nudge of God inviting me to go over to the park. I went to the park, and the question that God just spoke to me and said, do you know what this day is? I said, August 8, 2008, is the Beijing Olympics. I said, yes, but this was also the day that your son almost died 3 years ago. And the emotional trauma of that, and I sat in that park, probably I'm not exaggerating, for about 3 hours, weeping, pouring out my heart to God, emotionally being healed, being restored, being told never to be afraid again, that no matter what happens in life, I'm there for you. And I'm the restorer, not just of your spirit and your body, but even your soul, your own emotions. So why is this important? What is it? It's an emotion. It's an attribution of the right emotion to the right person so that it goes back down where it belongs. It doesn't become the top emotion of your life. Why is it important? How does it work? It's when you let go and let God. Why is it important? It's the basis for your foundation. The assurance of the storage, of the surplus, of the good things in life that God has for you. That's why he wants you to have it. Amen? Stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer. Just close your eyes. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Do you know why we sing songs at churches? Because there's something emotional about songs. Don't you ever let someone tell you to deny your emotions. Okay? There's nothing wrong with emotions. Just don't depend on it. It's a gauge. when your emotions are healthy and that gauge is healthy, it tells you where you are. I'm always happy because God is with me. And when I'm sad, I just need to turn back and run back to Him. When I feel depressed, when I feel lonely, I need to learn how to pray. When there's heaviness in my heart, I need to meditate on that word day and night. Go back to that place. Back to the garden. Amen? Let's worship the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.